Following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rantium Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at shiningwizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, this is Justin from Inconclusive Breakdown, and you are listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, for the fifth time in the history of the Shining Wizards, we are broadcasting live from overseas. We are in the beautiful country of España, but I am not alone. No. I've got a friend of mine who's not across the pond this time, just kind of sort of up the road. I'm actually ahead of him in the time schedule, but of course, without more bullshit, it's Bazza Smith, the Wrestling Monkey, joining me, like I said, for the fifth time. Bazza, my friend, it's been a long time. How are you, sir?
Five time Shining Wizard, baby!
Now we
I'm fantastic. How are you, my brother?
Not too bad. I wish the technology here was doing better. I am all set up with internet. We are hearing each other loud and clear right now. Unfortunately, Rantium Radio is cutting in and out, so I don't know if anybody's hearing us right now. It keeps telling me it's trying to reconnect, but... So, listen, if you don't, it's in podcast form. Sorry if you had to wake up at 4 in the morning, but we are here. We are live. It is a beautiful fucking day. Let me tell you something real quick about the weather here in Spain. The past couple of years we've been coming here, we haven't had much luck in terms of, you know, nice weather, beach time, whatnot. And since we got here on Monday, it's been raining every day. As a matter of fact, I think it was Thursday night. It poured like it never poured in this part of Spain. I'm actually in the north of Spain. Most of you know from listening to the show. I'm in Galicia. I'm right outside of A Coruña, which is the major city here. And today, the sun is shining. There's no wind. There's no strong breeze. It's actually a nice little light breeze blowing across. And of course, the gods must have shined upon us because we are doing our live podcast. How are things out in you in your part of the world? Still in London, correct?
Yeah, still just outside London. I can stand at the end of my path and see the Shard and see central London. It's weather's a bit fucking shite here, to be honest. It's starting to blow a bit of a gale. They're forecasting up to 60 mile per hour winds and so on and so forth. And it's my brother's wedding today, so I do hope that it brightens up for him and his wife to be, Kelly.
I hope so too. Well, congratulations to those two. Yeah, I do hope they get better weather. It seems like we're actually in the clear today here. We're actually planning on taking a trip down to Santiago to go hang around with all the smelly hikers, whatever you want to call them, you know, the pilgrims. You know, the folks that start off in France and don't take a shower the entire time while they're here. But, you know, whatever. It's par for the course. It's good times. A lot of singing, a lot of cool people hanging out.
Yeah, deodorant sales don't do too well in that part of the world, do they?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And as a matter of fact, you don't find one place to buy deodorant when you're out in Santiago anyway. So it's either if you brought, you're going to have to do without for a while. I actually know a few people that have done the pilgrimage, and they say it's an amazing experience. But you know what? Like right now with an 11-year-old, I just can't do it. And probably when he grows up, I'm going to be too damn old to give a shit anymore. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe someday. Maybe someday. Speaking of someday, we had a ton of pay-per-view picks, and you know from listening to the show that I've been miserable with that shit. What do you think overall? Like, how do you think it's been going for the year? You think Kevin's still going to hold on and win? You think I have a chance to pass him up? You think Matt's going to come out of the gutter? You have any thoughts on how that's been going so far?
Kevin seems to have his finger on the pulse, doesn't he?
Well, up his ass for one hand, and then maybe on the pulse with the other.
Yeah. Bless me, he ain't got nothing else to do with his life than watch wrestling, to be fair, is he? You know? It's either watch wrestling or get fucking drunk with that one, innit? So,
well, why not do both, you know? I guess.
Yeah, well, he seems to combine the two very well.
Quite a bit.
I'd say that he's actually surpassed professional level now. He could actually work as a tutor.
And Matt and I actually talked about it. At least when Kevin drinks, he doesn't pull a fucking Uso. He's smart enough to call himself an Uber ride and you know, not get behind the wheel. But that's neither here nor
kudos
there.
To him for that.
Okay,
at least he gets drunk the right way.
Yeah, well, that's one thing we don't have to worry about. He's a professional. A professional what? I don't know, but he's a professional.
Professional piss artist, we'd say over here.
So let me get right into it. We interviewed David Starr a couple of weeks ago. As you know, David Starr now is a resident of England. So he's been spending, I guess he's been there for close to a year now. And, you know, he came on the show, and not only did we have a little banter about how the language is actually different between the United States and England, but we also talked a lot about his independent project. Now, you being a lifelong resident of the UK, any thoughts? First of all, you had a chance to listen to the show, right?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah, I did. I found it very good, very informative. And a very good insight into what David Starr wants to happen on the UK independent scene, and 95% of what he had to say, I'd make him right. You know, the talent do need protecting; they do need to make sure that they're fed and watered properly. And you know, the grey area for me is the medical supervision for any injuries or whatnot. I mean, I know I don't know if he was talking about paramedics per se, because I'm not sure how having paramedics at every wrestling show would work, because the NHS, I don't know if the NHS is on the news much in the States, but, you know, in this country, it seems to be a daily thing that the NHS is stretched to its limits, and you know, and a paramedic service falls into that. And with the paramedic service stretched to breaking point as it is, I can't see how you could have a situation where you can have paramedics at every wrestling show. It just wouldn't work. They wouldn't be able to free up the people power, you know?
Well, I know that in the state of New York, this became an ongoing issue, especially during my time at Tier 1. And I know that, you know, with WrestlePro and CreatorPro running in New York, it's become mandated where, you know, not only do you always have to have a doctor from the athletic commission at every show to check everybody to make sure they're, you know, fit to wrestle, but they also have to provide ambulance service. You know, at least somebody has to be there. And if I remember right from talking with Phil Rea, who's an EMT, you know, and when he's not miserable on his commute, he actually likes his job.
when he's not doing his shitty commute.
he actually told me that even though there's an ambulance or an EMS on site, that EMS is not allowed to leave the building. So in other words, you're wrestling, you get hurt, you need to be taken to a local hospital or whatnot. That ambulance that's there cannot leave. You have to get another ambulance there to take the person away. So yeah, so it kind of defeats the purpose. I mean, I get it why they do it. It's that if a second person gets hurt, they still need to have somebody there. But in the meantime, yeah. Like now this person, like what's the point of having this ambulance? If it's just somebody to look at the person, then why do you even need a vehicle there? Maybe you just need an EMS there. Logically in New York, it doesn't make sense, but I understand wanting somebody there to make things safe. And then it falls on, well,
I completely understand it. And the only way, I mean, for me, what David Starr's actually trying to do, it makes a lot of sense with ensuring that talent are looked after properly, that there's the correct level of medical care there for any injuries that may occur, that talent are paid properly. And I get that, I understand it, but you've got all this talent now, you've got more talent than ever, particularly in the UK, who have gone full time because of the amount of promotions that are out there now. Now, if you start throwing into the mix all these things that David Starr wants to create, a level playing field and equality for all, a lot of promotions will shut down overnight because they just won't be able to afford to facilitate what David Starr wants. Because how can you have X amount of talent being paid more than they generally would, and then you have to pay, I believe you have to pay to have that paramedic on site, promotion simply won't be able to afford it.
Yeah. No, you're exactly...
And then all these people who have gone full-time, I mean, it's great for people like David Starr who are at the top end, but those who aren't headliners, who are sitting in the mid-card but still making a living out of it, then end up having to go back and get jobs again because they're not getting booked abroad. They're just getting booked solely on the UK scene through the amount of shows that are available for them to appear on. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Look, like you said from the beginning, everything that he talked about makes sense. It'd be great to have everything available for these guys, but it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And, anytime you try to affect change, no matter what the aspect of what you're working with, you always have to, and it's always hard to see. You have to be able to figure out, well, what's going to happen in the future. It's real easy to jump in and say, let's do this because X, Y, and Z. Okay, we love X, Y, and Z, but if you do this, what's going to happen down the line to say A, B, and C? Or even worse.
Yeah, what's the repercussions?
Exactly, and
What are the repercussions?
It's not just...
Because like I say, David Starr is in the wonderful position of being able to speak from a position of strength because his earning potential isn't under threat because he can go anywhere in the world and make his money.
Yeah.
Because, he's in the top 1% of available indie talent.
Yeah, but it's also a double-edged sword because you're not going to find somebody that's going to have any credibility who's maybe just up and coming or who's maybe just a journeyman who may be a good talent but doesn't have the name recognition of David Starr. So I get why, David Starr is the perfect mouthpiece for something like this, the perfect champion for the cause. But like we said, it's tough when you it's tough to get into it and then suffer the repercussions as opposed to like, let's take some time and look at it. Now, look, there's a lot of promoters out there. You can even go back, and I'm going to bring it up, and I know Matt's going to shit a fucking brick, but you go back to the days of Bruno. There were promoters that took great care of their guys, and there are other promoters that said, well, you're trying to make a name for yourself, so here's $5,
Yeah.
And, the guys that like, hey, I'm making good money. And that's, listen, let's be honest. People are not opening wrestling promotions just because they're fans of the business. And if they are, they're fucking sick in the head. Because a business is what it is. It's a business. You're in this to make money. If you have a bankroll and you're like, ah, I made $20. Who cares? If you don't have any money, you're not going to take a bath of a couple thousand dollars just to run shows unless you're a masochist. You know what I'm saying? But it goes, it goes to the overall picture though. Like guys, you know, a lot of these promoters rely just on Facebook to bring people into shows. You know, take a look at these guys at Wrestle Circus. They had this amazing show booked a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, by and large, I don't know if they were selling tickets or not, but, you know, they just banged up shop in the middle of the night. You know, I mean, I look back at Tier 1. Tier 1 put on amazing shows. Some shows, maybe we had 40 people there. You know, you're not going to make money when you have 40 people showing up and you book like, you know, 20 or 30 of the top talent from the independent scene, especially when you're flying guys in like Jeff Cobb. I love me some Jeff Cobb. 40 people coming out to see the show isn't paying for Jeff Cobb. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's got everything's. You got to regulate these things properly. You know, you've got to know what your fan base is. You've got to know what sort of numbers you're going to pull in. Sometimes you have to take a chance to get yourself off the ground. You know, that's the nature of any business. Sometimes you have to spend money to make money.
Exactly.
But you can't keep running at a continual loss. Because any business that continually runs at a loss just becomes unviable. Just becomes a going concern.
Yeah.
And like I say, yeah, it's fine for those at the top to be the standard bearers, be the leaders, be the voice. But by the same token, you know, I was there when David Starr won Super Strong Style Progress Wrestling Super Strong Style 16 this year. And he gave out a wonderful speech. And he spoke up for the next generation of wrestlers coming through from the UK. Wrestlers like Connor Mills, wrestlers like the OJMO, who's also known as Michael Woku. But by the same token, through his movement, he could actually be stifling their future opportunities. Because if people start getting cold feet about, you know, if he gets implemented what he wants implemented, I believe that there's a way that he could make it work. But at the same time, if all these promotions, the smaller promotions, I mean, like it wouldn't affect promotions like ICW or Progress or Fight Club or Pro Wrestling Eve or maybe even Riptide, but there's the bread and butter promotions. They're the sort of promotions that get your name out there. Because obviously, you know, they're out there in the internet world, in the wrestling world, on the internet. So, like, eyes are on them from, like, all over the place. But when you've got smaller promotions, like Battle Pro down the road from me, or Good Wrestling, or Shropshire Wrestling Alliance, or these small promotions where people like your Connor Mills and your Michael Okus, they're the promotions that are going to be bread and butter to them to help them improve their skills, hone their talent, and give them an opportunity maybe further down the line to actually do this gig full time. But if you start taking all them opportunities away, you're making it harder and harder for new talent to actually get on shows full stop. Because the opportunities to actually go out there and perform become less and less, and then they have to start traveling further and further. The promoters aren't going to pay the expenses because we even have it in a country, you know, you can fit the UK in Texas, I think. And even here, promoters in the South won't book talent in the North unless they can get a carload because they don't want to pay the expenses.
Yeah.
So if you start taking opportunities away because you want this, 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 and this in place for the betterment of professional wrestlers, who's actually benefiting from it? It's only the guys at the top who are protecting their income who are actually going to benefit from it. The new guys coming through, there's nothing for them to benefit from until they get to the top.
Yeah, that's the thing right now. Like we talked about earlier, wrestling is so hot. And I feel like we're at that period like we were in the mid to late 90s where it seemed like everybody was getting into pro wrestling. And nowadays, you know, men and women both are becoming better athletes. They're becoming stronger. They're more concerned about their look. So you have a lot of guys right now who maybe aren't getting into the sport for a year or two and then calling it a career. You know, these are guys with dreams and aspirations that are putting so much more on the line for it. You do want those opportunities. I get it. It's going to be a real delicate balance. I don't want to get political, but you take a look at when Obamacare passed in the States, right? I don't think you could find people on the street that would say, you know what, fuck the poor guy who's got cancer, or you know, to hell with the family who can't afford to go see a doctor. I've never met anybody like that. And when Obamacare passed, a lot of the companies that said, oh, you can go out and buy insurance now on a marketplace, well, I don't have to provide you insurance anymore. So you know what? Now you got to go out and pay and you're on your own. So like people, like even in my position, we had good insurance that was subsidized. Now, once Obamacare passed, that insurance went away. So not only do we not get a benefit of reduced insurance, which was actually better coverage, we have to go to a marketplace now and pay twice as much, if not more, for coverage that isn't even close to what we once had. So you always have to look. You always have to think about, well, if it's going to benefit all, who's it going to hurt, and what can we do about it hurting? You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I've been recently working with an art consultant from New York, and I was a little discussions with him about what's going on in America and whatnot, and he was telling me that Kentucky is known as being like a very poor state. And is that correct?
I don't know much about Kentucky. I wouldn't want to wager a guess because I don't know if we have any Kentuckians that listen to the show and get pissed off at me. But let's just assume yes.
New York as a state puts in more to the American economy than it takes out, whereas vice versa. He was explaining that Kentucky as a state takes out a lot more than it puts in.
Okay, that's probably a fair statement. I mean, I don't know too many.
And you're saying that. Go ahead. And you're saying that you said that Kentucky, as a state, was against Obamacare, but now that they've got it, they just call it something else. They call it Connect.
Oh yeah, every state, the way it's implemented is every state has their own thing. So
yeah,
like I know, like New York State calls it like the New York Insurance Marketplace. Like they all have different little cutesy names for the same thing, but they're all pretty much state run.
Yeah. Well, most things are. Yeah.
I mean, you know, look, we could get into all that, but that's a different show. That's not The Shining Wizards, but you know,
no.
My point is, you got to have a bigger picture when you're looking at this stuff. Oh, here's a bit of trivia for you. A lot of times, like when Evolve runs shows in New York or some of the other indie promotions, you know, on a lesser scale, they've been running a lot at churches lately. Like you'll see St. Finbar's, you know, be a main place, especially that Gabe Sapolsky likes to run in Brooklyn. And
yeah, didn't Phil and Choppy do commentary there once?
I believe so. I think they have. I know they've been out to Queens. They may have done Finbar's. I think they have. But here's the reason why a lot of them run at the churches, because when the churches run these events, they provide the ambulance and the EMS staff that's there for the show. So it's actually cheaper for the promoters to go to a church than it is to go to a Knights of Columbus or a VFW or, you know, like a Masons, or I don't know what kind of groups you guys have over there in England, but you know, like some of the adult social groups, like the charitable groups. So it's easier to run there because you don't have to pay that extra expense. Who knows? Maybe somewhere down the line, like these venues are like, okay, X and Y and Z is included in your price. And by the way, if you want the EMS, we've got a hookup. We can get them here for more, you know, maybe for like £50 more or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of outside the box thinking that you need to do to implement a lot of this stuff. And look, I'm sure it doesn't cost the guy too much to provide, you know, to provide a meal for whoever's showing up, or, you know, even water or Gatorade or, you know, some other kind of gimmicks just to, you know, give, hey, thanks for coming. Here's a little something extra for you. You know, David Starr, he's quite the character. We love him to death on the show.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this one pans out. That's for sure. And see what, because I think with any change, there's always natural wastage along the way. But as long as it does benefit everyone and not just the 1%.
Exactly.
You know, I'm all for it. And I think what I was touching on is a way that I could see it working is we have an organisation in this country called the St. John's Ambulance, who are volunteers. And from a cost perspective, that is maybe the only way I could see it working across the board would be to have volunteer EMTs, as you'd call them.
Yeah.
But you still need to get people to a hospital if need be, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to have the vehicle, you got to have the people there, you got to have the equipment there.
Yeah, because I mean, like, you know, it's a can of worms, because everything starts in one place and then it has a knock-on effect. Because, I mean, I understand that this is their job, this is their living. But it's if you start going down the road that Dave Starr wants to go down, do you then start requiring paramedics? I mean, obviously, you have paramedics at your top sporting events, top clubs when the games are, you know, obviously you'd have like EMTs on standby, NFL games, this, that, and the other, right? And I can understand that David Starr wants these things in place when you're running shows like your Progresses and your Fight Clubs and your OTTs, so on and so forth. But if he starts wanting that at, like I say, like at your Battle Pros or your Good Wrestling or your Shropshire Wrestling Alliance, your small independent promotions, that would be akin to them needing, you know, to put it in soccer terms over here, your Sunday Parks football. You know, does it start having a trickle all the way down so that you have to have a medical team at every, say, men's football match, Bromley Division 5 on a Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Just one man and his dog watching. But because you've got a physical contact sport going on, you need to have a medical team there, otherwise the match can't go ahead. These are the things that I don't think sometimes people like David actually look at. And like I say, it's the ramifications across the board, not just within the little bubble what you live in. It's what is the knock-on effect outside of what you're doing.
I'm just thinking about in my head how much staff you would actually need for, you know, say a match in the Premier League where, you know, what do the stadiums hold nowadays? 40, 50,000 people?
When you consider Manchester United have the biggest stadium in the Premier League and that holds approximately 75,000 people.
Okay, but that's on the bigger end.
Yeah.
So I mean, even at a game like that, you know, you've got 75,000 people there. They're probably paying good prices for those tickets. You've got merchandise sales. You've got concession sales. But not only that, you've got these teams that are sponsored. Each team has their own medical staff. I'm sure they've got the ambulance and the EMS ready at the stadium to transport people if they need to get them off the premises. But there's a lot of money to throw around there. You know, like if you're talking about a show where there's 50 people, maybe not so much to throw on. The one thing I did like that he mentioned was, and that they actually have working, is they're getting like insurance coverage for these guys, which I think is a big deal. You know,
I think that is a big deal, and it's brilliant of Equity to get on board with that, because you know there's still, even though like professional wrestling has become more and more popular, there's still a lot of snobbery towards it that, you know, oh, it's not a real sport.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's ever going to go away.
particularly in this country, people still, but it's not a real sport, is it, mate? Well, no, it's not. You know, the way I explain it to people, and I've always explained it to people, some people like to go to the theatre, some people like to go to the cinema, I like to go to professional wrestling to be entertained. You know?
Yeah,
but these people, they do put their bodies on the line for our entertainment.
Of course.
You know, are you telling me, right, that when your stage show like Swan Lake, that those performers there, are you telling me that they're not insured? In case they twist a knee, do this, do that. Of course they're insured. They've got to be. They've got to have some sort of insurance coverage because their job requires them to use the term ballet, because it is ballet. And it is ballet, Michael Cole. And
it ain't ballerina, Matt.
Yeah. but they're obviously covered in case they do themselves a mischief.
Yep.
So why not professional wrestlers? Why should they not be covered? Because, you know, and this is where it does help the people still making their way up. Because I know like that there's talent up and coming, we're still holding down full time or part time jobs. But if they're I know one wrestler who's a bricklayer or odd carrier, but he works in that sort of field. And so if he suffers a concussion or suffers an injury where he can't pick anything up or walk, he can't work.
Yep.
He can't work. You know, and if he can't work, he can't buy what he needs to get himself out there, da, 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 because obviously what he does for a living supplements what he's trying to do in professional wrestling.
But isn't that funny, though? Like, you'll be insured as a construction worker, which is an inherently dangerous job, but, you know, you can't catch a break because you're a professional wrestler. And, you know, just because you're not constructing a building or working on a bridge or an overpass or you know, like laying concrete or something, but you're jumping off of a top rope maybe 6 or 12 feet down to the floor. Like, is there really much of a difference? Like, yeah, one is considered work and one is considered performance art, but what's the significant difference? Like, these are both people plying their trade, and this is what they do for a living. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, you know, you do get the argument that, well, they're actually choosing to do that. And but if a stuntman can get insured,
mm-hmm,
why not a professional wrestler?
Yeah, but then it also
ostensibly it's the same thing.
Yeah, it is, but it also comes to scale too. You know, like usually on a movie set, you know, you've got tens of millions of dollars they're throwing around for production and whatnot.
Yeah, so yeah.
If the policy's big, then they can afford it. It's a drop in the bucket to what they're going to return on. But how can you afford something where, you know, maybe you're paying this guy $20-$30, you know, to jump around for 10 minutes and possibly injure himself where he might not even be able to walk again? Let's be honest, you know.
Yeah, the dangers are real.
Yeah, but it's also rough when you equate A and B, because the circumstances, look, you can break it down where they're absolutely the same, sure, but then when you start looking at nuances, it's not really the same. Not really the same for big picture.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message.
Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Because we're up all night.
Too sweet. No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. We'll see you there.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
By the way, we have been live. The stream is actually working. So if you're up listening to us at 4:30 in the morning or maybe earlier, thank you for joining us. It's Tony here, of course, with the Wrestling Monkey himself, Bazza Smith. Our yearly sojourn into the world of professional wrestling from overseas. And a question I got to ask you. I know I bring this up every year, and it seems like a lame duck question, but do you have any information for us on the state of the independents in the UK? And has there been any relationship change since NXT UK has been running more frequently and doing more things? I can tell you one thing. I mean, I get putting the belt on Walter, but I miss Pete Dunne being champ, man. I love me some Pete Dunne. Although, I'm a fan of Walter too, but that's just my thought on the thing. But any updates, anything you want to give to us?
I mean, sadly, we recently lost ICW World Champion Lionheart.
Yes, that even made big news across the pond.
Who sadly
as well.
Took his own life.
Yeah.
You know, mental health is a real thing for a lot of people. I've been there myself. I was lucky enough to have friends who I could reach out to bring my, try and light, straighten up my crazy head as best I could. And I think they come across in the way that I approach social media these days. I'm not such an angry man.
That's an understatement.
And, just don't be afraid to talk. You know, I mean, I was having this discussion with my wife this morning and I was saying, I'm the world's best listener, but I can be terrible when it comes to actually speaking about things that are bothering me, and I just bottle it up until like the cork pops, you know?
No, I hear you.
And, you know, I think it does make for a better life where, like, if you can get these things out of your system sooner rather than later before they become an issue, because sometimes it's just something small and insignificant that you don't feel like you want to bother someone else with, but then you start adding layers to it. Before you know it, yeah, your head's in a maelstrom and, you know, you're just ready to run into a brick wall. All I'd say on that front is, like, you know, don't be afraid to speak and reach out to people who you love and trust, you know?
Yeah, that's the tough part. Like you said, once you reach that point, it gets near impossible to come back from it.
Yeah. Yeah, it can do. You know, I reached the edge of the cliff and luckily stepped back, and that's, you know, because of people I met through professional wrestling.
Isn't that funny? You know? Isn't that funny? The sport that everyone shits on and says is the lowest of the low, and yet, you know, you find some people that really give a damn, you know, in a strange definitely. Place.
You know, it seems to be like a house for crazies who try to make sense of each other.
You know, it's the same thing. Like when you look at the metal scene, you know, I'm kind of more back into it now that, I've been listening to Radioactive Metal more with Snowy and all those guys, but, mm-hmm. you know, all you think of is with metalheads is like, you see the videos of the mosh pits and people getting hurt and, you know, bruises and broken bones and whatnot. And you're like, why the fuck would you do this? But then when you talk to them, it's just like anything else, man, they're the most down to earth people. They got your back.
That's their therapy.
Yeah. That's how they get out their aggression. They beat the shit out of each other and then they go out and they have a beer.
Yeah, that's their release valve. I mean, for a lot of them, it's probably kept them in a job.
Yes.
Because what they do in a mosh pit, they'd love to be doing to their boss or one of their work colleagues, you know?
And isn't that weird? We're not so much unlike them, where a lot of the people we know would rather just do it in a wrestling ring, you know? So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
The world is funny. Definitely. Like that.
I mean, as the news reached you that Jim Smallman is to leave Progress?
Going to NXT?
I haven't had it confirmed, but rumors are rife that he is going to be working for WWE full time. And he will be leaving after chapter 100 on December the 30th to, possibly. I haven't seen it confirmed. No one's confirmed it to me. It might be confirmed, but to go and work with WWE full time. And it's probably a good time for him. Personally, it's probably a good time for him to step back from Progress. Cause I think for a lot of people, he was starting to wear on him a bit.
Wearing out his welcome.
I mean, the thing is, Jim comes across as a genuinely lovely bloke. And everyone I know who's met him or knows him say what a lovely bloke he is. But yeah, I think people got a bit, it started wearing on people that it was like we had to have 10, 15 minutes of Jim Smallman at the start of the show before the show started. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, when you've been doing it for coming up 100 shows, I think it does wear on people a little bit. They're ready for a bit of change. How that change comes about, I don't know. Because I think the British scene in general is finds itself in a state of flux at the minute. Because I was having a discussion with someone the other day, and, you know, we were very lucky. You know, I've said this before, that over a 3-4 year period, when I was going to anything and everything, that I was following the guys coming up who are now in the international scene, like your Will Ospreys, your Zack Sabre Juniors, your Marty Skells, so on and so forth, Aleister Black, you know, the Viking Raiders, all these people on the UK scene. We were very spoiled for choice, you know, but as is the natural way of things, with the growth of NXT and NXT UK, and with other guys like Ospreay and now ELP making their way to Japan, the actual talent pool in the UK scene at the moment, like top level talent, I mean, is very thin on the ground.
Yeah. And that's usually
the next generation guys are coming through, mm-hmm. and they're very, very good. Don't get me wrong. They're very, very good. Are they international level good? One or two, yeah. But, you know, this has been coming. Because if you take as much talent as as the EU and Japan did in one hit, it's gonna leave a void. You can't get around that.
Oh, of
but
course.
My concern going forward is that you've now got a lot of mid-carders being asked to be main eventers, and as is the natural order of things, the cost of running shows go up, and that cost has to be passed on to the fan. It's the natural order of things. And my concern is that some of the bigger promotions are going to suffer a little bit because people aren't going to be prepared to pay the big money to watch mid-card talent. But then maybe I'm looking at it from the wrong angle, because there's a lot of new fans who have come in over the last couple of years who are in the same position I was 4 or 5 years ago, following people through. You know, so maybe, you know, because I know that a lot of fans who are around the scene the same time as me, they've moved on with their lives, met people, had kids, blah, 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 moved on, only go to the odd show here and there. And so behind you, you do have this new wave of fans who are following through the next wave of talent. Like I said, like your Connor Mills, your Lewis Mayhews, your OJMOs, Michael Oku, and people of that ilk. And so, yeah, maybe it's just me looking at it from the wrong angle.
But that's also the beauty of it, because we were spoiled. I mean, you know, even in the United States with a lot of the guys that we've seen up and coming, like Christ, I had some ghetto ass wrestling channel on Roku the other day, and it was a Beyond Wrestling show from, God, it had to have been a decade ago. And there's this skinny kid who's got like a horn sticking out of the front of his trunks, and he's walking up to ladies and asking them to blow the horn. And I said, I know this motherfucker. I know who this is. I can't think of who it is. And when he gets in the ring, they announce him as Matt Taven, your current Ring of Honor world champion. I'm thinking to myself, son of a bitch. But you know what though? Like, you look at it, you've been blessed because, yes, you do have quite the cream of the crop that came up while you were following and while you were like heavily invested into it. But these new folk that are coming up and maybe taking the place of you and like a lot of the fans that were following it the way you were just a couple of years ago, maybe they're going to get to see these breakout stars, and you don't see it because, you know, like, look at it. Like, when I was a kid, like, oh, who was better than Hulk Hogan? Who was better than The Warrior? You know, like, everybody that came up after that, it was like, I didn't give him a chance. You look at somebody like Kevin, Kevin's like, oh, I love me some Alex Porteau. I love me some Duke the Dumpster Drosy. You know what I'm saying? I look at that and I'm like, well, that's dog shit. But to Kevin, who was up and coming, that's the guys that he remembers. That's the stars. So, like, while you remember Will Ospreay when he was up and coming, or Zack Sabre Jr., or the Viking Raiders, or whatever the fuck they call him now, like, shit, even like Big Damo. The first time I met Big Damo, he's the nicest guy in the fucking world. He went out and destroyed some people. I was like, this guy's fucking amazing. A couple of weeks later, he's already on NXT. I was like, you gotta be shitting me. Look at that. Like, right, like, boom, right in. So, like, there's probably guys that are out there right now that you can't see it because you're looking at it through your glasses from just a few years ago, whereas they may be the diamond in the rough, just need that little bit of polish to get to that next level, and then they're off to the races.
Yeah, and to give you an example, one would be ELP. And he was, my stepson, Yuan, he's taken over my mantle and goes to everything and anything. And he's actually going to watch a show in September in a cave in Sheffield.
That's fucking crazy.
And, he's been to a show over at Milton, Wimbledon, which was held in a library, you know, for soul wrestling. And, he was following this wrestler, ELP, and I was looking at it, I was like, just seems like, a shitty disco gimmick trying to be Will Ospreay. Because you do, without, subconsciously, you form them comparisons with the ones that you've watched come through.
Oh, fuck, dude. You know how many people dressed up like the Hardys when they were up and coming in the WWF?
Yeah.
Like all, like, I mean, like little girls, like young boys, like everybody trying to get into the business. Everybody was wearing like the big JNCO pants with the tight shirts, with the pantyhose on their forearms and shit, and doing the double triggers. It was fucking crazy. Everybody wanted to be Jeff and Matt Hardy. I get it.
Yeah, like, you know, and I'll say, like, Johan was always raving about it. And I was saying, how good this bloke is, how good this bloke is. And I was like, meh. And Sinbad. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden he made just a slight change. Changed his gimmick slightly, got rid of the bins, put a leather jacket on, got a bit of attitude, ended up in Best of the Super Juniors.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's going back out there full time, as I understand it, very soon.
It's crazy.
And I, you know, so like, and Yuan's had the opportunity to actually see him grow as a character to the point where he's now established on an international level, which is what I was doing like 4 or 5 years ago. So like, you do sort of like, yeah, maybe I was being a bit harsh. You know what I mean? But he said, whole thing, it was always better when I watched it. You know what I mean? you fall into that sort of like dad mindset, don't you? Well, no, it was when we was younger.
Yeah, of course. That's the thing to do. You know, you went to school in 5 feet of snow and you had to walk 7 miles each way and, you know.
Yeah.
That's the old curmudgeon and nonsense, which always ends with get off my lawn.
Yeah.
You mentioned that a lot of the promotions are suffering. I read a couple of weeks ago that I believe it was Defiance. It used to be What Culture Pro wound up banging up shop recently. Anything that you know about them? Were you ever familiar with them when they were running? I seem to remember that somebody that was in charge of What Culture got in trouble for maybe some doing for some inappropriate things, but I could be way off on that.
No, yeah, it's one of the Adams. Yuan would tell me if he was awake, but he's still blowing bubbles. because you got Adam Pacitti who like sort of headed it up, and then there was another Adam, and I can't remember his name right now. And yeah, he got found out. He was sending inappropriate messages to some people, to some women, and. That all went awry.
Whoops.
Yeah. And but I think Defiant, I want to say that was a Northeastern promotion as well.
It wasn't the same because I don't remember what they changed their name to. You know, I could probably look it up, but because
originally it opened up with a lot of fanfare, didn't it? It's War Culture Pro Wrestling. And because a friend of mine wanted to
It was Defiant. It was Defiant. That's what they changed their name to, formerly known as What Culture Pro. Of course, yeah. I'm looking on a fandom wiki right now, which is, I don't know if they're associated with Wikipedia, but they're never wrong about anything anyway. So,
yeah, because the actual wrestling side of it split away from What Culture. Because What Culture itself is obviously, as you know, it's like a YouTube channel, does this, does that, and then they started up the What Culture Pro Wrestling. With, you know, too much fanfare, you know, trying to run big venues straight away, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, it was Adam Blampede and Adam Pacitti. And they mentioned King Ross and Jack the Jobber. I don't know who those guys are, but.
And that they had something to do with. I didn't really pay a lot of attention to it, to be honest, because it just came across as a bit of a hipster. Like you say, like, you know, oh this wrestling thing that's cool, let's get involved.
Okay, so here's something interesting that I didn't know. I'm seeing that it was taken over by a gentleman named Stu Bennett. I'm like, why does that ring a bell? Ah, that's Wade Barrett. So Wade Barrett actually took over What Culture and turned it into Defiant. But I don't have any information on how long it was Defiant under his leadership. But there you go. There you go.
Yeah, because Stu Bennett was involved with World of Sport as well, wasn't he? Which is like died a death again.
So we asked David, and he didn't know too much about it when we had him on. Is World of Sport still moving forward? Like, are they just in a quagmire right now? Like, what's happening with them?
I haven't seen any advertising or. Let me have a look. I've Not the old, yeah, it was Adam Blampier was the one sending, here we go, World of Sport Wrestling. A 6-date live tour of show stars took place in January, February 2019. Nothing has happened ever since.
Wow. So there was a lot of commotion. I know in the States about it because, you know, World of Sport is, you know, pretty much the rich history of pro wrestling in England, you know, for better or worse. I know a lot of people take Big Daddy with a grain of salt looking back at it, but you know, I enjoyed this stuff for what it was, from what I've seen.
Well, again, they lost a lot of their talent. Because when you think like El Ligero, who was on there,
mm-hmm.
he's gone to Yee. He's on NXT UK.
You think a lot of it was just yeah, okay. Too many people just trying to jump into the back into the wrestling business at this point?
I mean, you've got their roster here. Like Will Ospreay is now in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Joe Hendry. Apparently, he's just signed with Ring of Honor. You've got Stevie Boy, who is now the new ICW world champion, you know, and with that, are they actually allowed to get involved with World of Sport anymore because of their connections with the E? Because I know that there was, over the last year or so, there's been a lot of changes in regards to contracts and whatnot.
Yeah, isn't it funny that WWE was like, "Oh no, we're coming to the UK. We're going to work with everybody. It's going to be great." And then next,
yeah, we're helping to enhance the British scene.
Yep, and then they start putting everybody on lockdown.
Yeah, but the thing is, as well, one of the big names behind World of Sport was a bloke called Alex Shane, and who runs NGW. And so a lot of the talent on the World of Sport roster were actually he uses on NGW shows. And they do all the buttons. They do all the camp shows now, you know. So it just seems like, although World of Sport was a very good idea, there were too many obstacles for it to overcome to have any sort of longevity. Because, I mean, you've got Kip Sabian, who's down on their roster, who's now in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and All Elite Wrestling will be kicking off on an ITV channel, which doesn't bode well for any future for World of Sport, because they was ITV themselves. So, you know, it was a massive thing that we was getting professional wrestling back on terrestrial TV anyway. They're not going to take a chance on two separate promotions.
Well, that's the other thing too. I mean, there's so many promotions in the position that World of Sport wants to be in or thinks that it's filling a void for, where, you know, in 2019, there's no real void to be filled at this point.
No. And the problem with World of Sport, and I mean, I haven't been to a live show. People who have been to a live show said they thoroughly enjoyed it when they'd done the Your Call last year. But when I watched it on TV, the camera work was atrocious. It was like, if you had photosensitive epilepsy, don't watch. Because they was changing the camera angle. I mean, myself and my youngest stepson, Leighton, we watched a match during their original run. And I think we counted in excess of 50 changes. No, sorry. In excess of 30 changes of camera angle within 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's a seizure.
That is, you know.
That's not good.
No, it's not. And also, it was like, it was a canned crowd reactions. And because you'd be looking at the crowd from the hard cam, you'd have fans, you'd have like the canned fan reactions, and you can see that they're just sitting on their hands with their little foam finger pointing up in the air, you know? and what it was like, it looked like it was booked by the people who used to do Gladiators. You remember the show from back in like the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
When it was Zenith, wasn't it? It was like that, but we're going to do it from a professional wrestling angle. So you had all the families there with their foam fingers, cheering for the good guy, booing the bad guy, and it just wasn't. It just didn't come across as a legit professional wrestling show. It came across as Gladiators from a wrestling angle, which is probably fine if you're 5 years old.
Yeah.
But if you're putting it on at tea time at like 5, 6 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, on a Saturday evening, to try and get the whole family sit around it, it wasn't directed at legit wrestling fans. That's probably wrong to say. It sounds a bit snobbish. It was aimed at fans who like camp wrestling.
I guess the thought is to try to promote something different, maybe give people an alternative. But man, when the scene is too hot, I don't know how much an alternative could possibly work. I don't know.
I mean, I know that like Alex Shane's NGW shows at Butlins do very well because they always have done.
Yeah,
you know, you'll always hear people, even like people like David Starr, they've done the loop, you know, and done the camp shows and whatnot. You know, it's a staging ground for a lot of people. And for some people, like your Nathan Cruises of this world, who didn't get into WWE, it provides a very good income for them. It gives them the opportunity to do it full time. And I think that's just it. But
all right, let me ask you this. Who, I mean, I know you don't, you're not as obsessive with wrestling, to use that word, as you were even just a couple of years ago, but with the talent that has left, is there anybody that is around now that's up and coming that you think is going to be a breakout star in the next couple of years? Anybody that you've had your eye on? Anybody that just, you know, when you look at them, you say, this guy gets it, or this guy's going to be something special?
Michael Oku, also known as the OJMO. Very good young talent. Connor Mills, again, another very good young talent coming through. There's one dude from up north, Lucas Steele. He's got all the potential. He's got the size, he's got the physique, he's a good looking dude. I think he's another one who steered in the right direction, could make a big name for himself. I mean, the next level, the next generation is there. It's just, like you say, it's just like, give them a little polish in the right areas, give them the right opportunities. And the platform's there for them because like I said before, there is a void there. There is a void at the moment, particularly like down in the London wrestling scene, because that's where a lot of the top names were before they moved on to the AEW, where they was playing their trade.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is an opportunity there for someone to take the limelight and to be the next big thing. And, you know, there's a lot of talent. There's one, I think his name is Brady Phillips, who's in Tidal Wrestling up in Leeds. He's another one. You know, there is talent out there. I mean, I wish Yuan was here now because he'd be able to reel off about fucking 20 names because he travels up and down the country. But, you know, and there's some, you know, and the female, the scene for the girls and the women seems to be like very strong at the moment as well. I mean, there seems to be plenty of opportunity there. And so it is in a healthy place. It's not, obviously, like I say, like there is a void there when it comes to actual what you consider to be tier one talent. But there's a lot of like young kids out there, and talent who have, you know, been sitting in the mid card, looking to step up, and it'll be interesting to see how the scene develops over the course of the next year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we pull this train into the station? I think we had a great show again, as usual.
Yeah, we managed to stay away from politics this year. I mean, I wouldn't want to talk about that at the moment anyway. I mean, like, you know, we've got all these people pissing and moaning. I mean, I never really understand why people moan about what's happening in other countries.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, I understand. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Trump's a bit of a fucking... He doesn't come across as being like the smartest in the world when it comes to people skills. But then like I say to people, you know, it's like, I'm in no position as a UK national to be pointing the finger at America's leader when basically our new prime minister is the Swedish chef from the fucking Muppets.
You know what? And I'll just leave it at this. I don't agree with a lot of what Piers Morgan says, but when he was talking about Trump visiting England, and he put it on the line. He's like, look, this is a country that's always had our back. This is a country that's always been teaming up with us, that, you know, like, we've been working together. And, you know, regardless of what you think, this is the president of that country coming to visit us. He's like, give him a fucking break. Show some respect. And I was like, thank you. That's all we ask for. Just a little respect.
Yeah. I mean, people get confused with, I mean, if you don't like Trump, you don't like Trump, right? Yeah. But he was coming here. It's about respecting the office. You don't have to respect the man, but have a bit of respect for the office.
It's funny. It's like when you catch your woman banging another guy, and like, you don't blame your woman. You start chasing the other guy. It's like, well, you know, it was a shitty thing, but like, it's your woman first and foremost, because she's the last line of defense against shit like that, you know? So it's kind of like, why are you not shitting on the royal family? Like, the royal family is the one that invited the president to come over. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's that kind of logic like that that just doesn't make sense to me. And look, I'll be honest with you. I tell everybody, I voted for Barack Obama for 2008. I wanted some change. I thought maybe somebody fresh in there would be perfect for the country. By 2012, I couldn't stand the guy. If I fucking won the World Cup of Soccer, or if I was on the Super Bowl winning football team, I would be at that White House in a fucking heartbeat to meet Obama. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? I don't understand it. Like, it's the fucking, it's like you said, it's the position. It's the presidency. It's not the man behind it. It's the position itself, you know? Look, I could give less of a flying fuck about the royal family, but if I had a chance to meet them, fuck yeah, I'm going to go meet the royal family. It's the fucking royal family, you know?
Yeah, it's a big name on the CV of life, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, people be like, oh, Trump was a cocksucker. He was an asshole. Nobody liked him. It's like, you know what? I met the son of a bitch, and I had a good time with him.
Yeah. He bought all the burgers.
And that's the funny thing, too. Like, I have friends of mine who got close to Donald Trump, you know, long before, you know, he had aspirations in the 80s, according to old interviews. But, you know, before it was even a serious thing of him running for president. And they were like, he couldn't have been nicer. He was the nicest guy. He was friendly. He was down to earth. I guess when you become president and you tweet too much, you become an asshole. But look,
yeah, and we're living in a world at the moment where you're not allowed to just like look at things from both sides anymore.
Nope, and that's the big problem. I don't care. People are being more pressurized
to either be in one camp or the other.
You could be as crazy as you want with your.
Look, it's, it's almost frowned upon. It's frowned upon to be a centrist.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, you haven't got any real opinion then if you're sitting on the fence. Well, no, I sit on the fence because then I can listen to both sides of the argument and take away from each side of the argument, which I think once I've taken in the information that I've got from both sides, I can say, right, yeah, I can agree with that, but I can take a little bit of that away as well.
Yeah,
if you're sitting in one camp or the other, all you're allowing yourself to be is indoctrinated with one school of thought. And that is how people become one dimensional fucking social cyclopses.
Yeah, and that's the problem. The minute you start picking and choosing, you don't know what you're talking about, and you need to be shut up and you need to be shut down. And it's unfortunate because there's a lot out there right now. And if there was ever a time you needed to have that central view as opposed to just laser focused on one thing, you know, like this is the time to have that, and we don't have it. It's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate.
I don't know if it's the same in America at the moment. It probably is. But, I mean, on the UK political scene at the moment, there's a massive chasm.
Yep.
Between the left and the right. And the Lib Dems, the Liberal Democrats, who are like the third party in this country, they're trying to fill that void. But people don't trust them. They're still winning back trust of people after jumping into bed with the Tory party when David Cameron was Prime Minister, because he needed the Liberal Democrats to form a majority, to get a majority, you know? And people like were irked about that. And they're on the comeback trail now. They're trying to fill that void. But it's just fucking... The thing is with the Lib Dems, you ever watch any Monty Python?
Not in a very long time, but yes. I can't say that I'm a big fan of Monty Python, though, I'll be honest with you.
But you've seen The Life of Brian?
Yes.
And you see the part in that film where they're all sitting in the gladiatorial arena, and they're sitting there talking about the different political groups, like the People's Front of Judea or the Judean People's Front. Yeah. and that is where the Lib Dems find themselves at the moment. They don't know whether they're the People's Front of Judea or the Judean People's Front.
Yeah.
You know, until they figure that out, they're going to struggle to get close to a position where they can sort of challenge to be a major voice in Parliament again.
I'll leave you with this, and this is a perfect microcosm to everything that's been happening. There's one bus stop in a town near where I live where the bus always stops there. However, there's no shelter, there's no bench. So what a couple of the people that were to take the bus would do is they'd bring these god-awful, gross-ass, like, plastic lawn chairs and leave them all at the bus stop. Now, this road is a major outlet off of a highway. So when people pull up to the stoplight at this intersection, all they see to their right is just a gaggle of disgusting chairs with dirt and mud on them and plastic bags and all this nonsense. So one person on Facebook in this group about the town said, why are all these disgusting beat up chairs there? You know, because let's be honest, they look disgusting and they all look beat up. And somebody's like, oh, people wait for the bus there. And because there's no place to sit, you know, a couple people brought some chairs. And the follow up was, well, it just looks kind of gross. Can't we get a bench there or do something? And there were a couple people that chimed in. Like one of the town councilmen was like, we got in touch with New Jersey Transit. They're going to put in a bus stop. It's going to take some time. But in the meantime, he went to the Public Works, found that they had an extra bench and had a bench installed there. It's not a big bench. Maybe three or four people could sit on it. But they put a bench there and got rid of the chairs. Can you believe there were no less than 50 people who chastised this woman? These people need those plastic chairs, and this is what they have to sit on, and fuck you, I would put these chairs on my front lawn if it meant that these people would have a place to sit. It's like, Jesus Christ, you can't even make an opinion that our town looks like shit because we have these broken down plastic chairs there. Can we do something? Like, the person was just asking, can we do something about it? And they shit all over them. It's like, calm down, it's a fucking set of plastic chairs. Take it easy. You know?
We're living there. People just people want to be offended.
Yep, and they that's need, the big they need, problem.
They need their outrage, and I don't know why.
For fucking plastic lawn chairs, for God's sakes.
Let's all just love each other and help each other just to improve little things a little bit at a time. And before you know it, we're going to have a nice little world to live in.
It's amazing. When you deal with people face-to-face, people are genuinely good people. It's when you deal with people behind a monitor or, you know, like behind a television camera that you really should start to question what they're thinking, you know? Are they the people they're trying to portray? Probably not.
Keyboards are like alcohol, mate. They make usually sane and rational people say stupid things.
Yeah, and it's fucking nuts. It's fucking nuts. Speaking of fucking nuts, where can they find your fucking ass on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff if people want to give you a follow?
On Twitter, you can find me at Wrestling Monkey. And on the Facebook, you can find me at, I'll go under my married name, is Bazza McKenzie Smith.
That's so cute. You guys are adorable. You really are. You post the greatest things online, the two of you. You guys are having a ball in your marriage. That's awesome.
We have a good time. It's not all roses, but no relationship ever is.
No, of course not. Hey, I got to ask you. It's mostly roses. Is High Cinco still a thing?
High Cinco, we're actually in the throes of trying to arrange a reunion.
Beautiful.
Because it's been a while since we were all together. And we're going to try and make that happen sometime at the end of next month, I think.
That's beautiful. Well,
people grow up. People get old. Yeah, you know, I got married. My best man, who was my wingman in High Cinco, Shane Rowlands, he's recently had a new son, Luca, come into the world. And everyone's just sort of like getting old.
Yeah, I hear you, bro.
Adulting. Everyone's starting to adult. So we can't go to the shows all the time anymore. We can't just disappear for a weekend and follow wrestlers all around the country and pissed in bars and hopefully find our way back to the hotel before going out and doing the same thing the next day.
Well, maybe High Cinco becomes a family event this year.
Yeah, that'll be great.
The things that change when you get older, right, friend?
Damn right.
Bazza, as usual, my friend, this was a pleasure. I love coming out on the terrace and doing this with you every year. And I'm looking forward to next year, man. This hour went by way too quickly.
It did. We could easily do two, I think. But, you know, it's life at the end of the day, isn't it? You've got a family to go and enjoy the day with. I've got to start getting ready for my brother's wedding this afternoon.
Yes, and please wish him and his new bride a congratulations from all of us.
I will do indeed, my friend.
And have a great day, brother. And we're going to be signing off. Thanks for listening on Rant EM Radio. I'm so glad that you were able to join us all this morning. Say goodbye, Bazza.
Bye-bye.
Beautiful. See you next week.